Okay, so this is our second chabura. Again, we're continuing the first topic. Right, we're still in the realm of the rights of the different Bali din to choose which Beis din. Hopefully, we'll finish up that halfway through, and then we'll get to the second topic of the sugya, which is the choice of Dayanim themselves. So again, last time, at this point, it seems like I know. A week ago, during the first year, we discussed, specifically the rights of the Malva and specifically the rights of the Wolva. Right? In short, the bottom line seems to be that the Malva has the right to take the Lova out of town, while the Lova does not have that right and really only has a right, if anything, to choose a basin within town, does not have the right to take the Malva out of town. But the Gemara and Chav Gimel and Laman Aleph, while the Gemara discusses, the rights of both the Malva and the Lova, let's omitted, which is not that which is not discussed by the Gemara, are the rights of Shar Tawanim. And the question that Rishonim discuss is, what is the right of another Toin? Right? Let's say a Nizak or a Nigzal, like a Toin in another context, what is the right of that Toin? Do we treat that Toin, the Shar Tawanim, do we treat them as a Love? Therefore, to say that he does not have the right to take that nitan out of town, or do we treat that toin like a malva to say that he does have the right to take out of town? So we're going to see this is a big machlokes rishonim. We're going to analyze both shitos and all the different svaras given. Right. So the first option in the sugya is to say the shara toanim have the status of a lova. Right. To say that the right to take the other party out of town is limited specifically to the Malva. So the Rishonim would take this approach. It's the first Shita is the Shita of the Yad Rama, who says in Laman Aleph Amad Beis, Dirum Asma Amar Amemar. I'm sure a lot of you guys saw this. It's the first Makor in the second section, right, where the Rama explicitly says that, right, after saying that the Malva, right, because of Eved Lova Leish Malva, that the Malva has the right to take the Lova out of town, he says, V'dafka Malva, the isbei haitaima, right? This right only, right, is limited to the malva who has this reasoning of eved lova leish malva. For shar tvios, the dini nachlos, basically toanim in other contexts, such as gzela, etc., kiyotze ben, kofin osa v'dan bi'ira, right? They do not have the right to take their nitan out of town. That's one shita. Then you have the shita also Rabbeinu Tam, this is quoted by the Ramach, right? We'll see, in contrast to the Rambam, we'll see in a moment. But Rabbeinu Tam, again, is quoted in the Ramach on the spot as saying also, right, the Mazik, the Nizak, all these other Toanim, lo matzu ma'akve, right, they cannot be ma'akve, they cannot take the other party out of town. When we time a demalva, mishim de eved lova leish malva, and there's the uniqueness of the malva is because of this reasoning of eved lova leish malva. Okay, so you have Yad Ramah, you have this Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in the Ramach, and you also have the Rashba and Baba Kama, Kafid Beis and Abeis. I didn't assign that, but it also has the Shita. So basically, there are two assumptions to these Shitas, right? To say that this din of being able to take the other person out of town is limited to the Malva, two assumptions. Number one is that the only factor which would allow a party to take the other party out of town is the factor of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva. That's assumption number one. Again, the only svara which would allow a certain towing to take the other person out of town is the svara of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva, assumption number one. And assumption number two is that factor of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva is limited to the Malva-Lova relationship. Right? So, and as we discussed last time, the reason...
How can you say it's not in the Malva? I mean, of course it's in the Malva.
Okay, so we're going to get to that in a second. For the other Shitos. Right, so, as you're saying, this seems pretty pashut, because the Eved Lova L'Ish Malva, the subjects in the Pasuk are the Lova and the Malva, which seem to make a lot of sense. And as you pointed out last time, this perspective of limiting the svar of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva to specifically to the Malva-Lova relationship makes a lot of sense within the Chesed approach we were developing before. That if you think that the basis of this idea of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva is the fact that the Malva went ahead and performed this Chesed by giving this interest-free loan to the Lova, that because of that Chesed, the Lova system basically grants him certain rights. So if that's the Chesed is the basis of the svar, then it makes a lot of sense to limit to the Eved to the Malva-Lova relationship. Right, which relationship is the only one that has this svara of chesed? And actually, Asher pointed out to me that this idea of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva being predicated upon the notion of chesed is actually explicitly found in the Ralbag, on the spot, on that pasuk in Mishle, or Chav Beis Zayin. So the Rabbag there explicitly explains the notion of Ebed Lobel Ishmaava being based on this chesed idea. But just to note, that he takes it in a little different direction than we were saying, right? The Rabbag explains it as more of like a psychological factor, that because basically that the Lovah feels indebted to the Malva for having performed the chesed on his behalf. So that's the way he explains Pshat on the pasuk. Again, the way
so
we...
So he's willing to...
He's not dealing with the halachic ramifications of it. That's just... It's just the Rabbag's explanation of that concept, of the pasuk, really, the Lovah Lishmalva, is based on the psychological factor. But... What?
You think Meshli would be teaching us the halacha about who's toying
and who's out? Yeah, that's fine. I'm not, you know, that doesn't bother me. But in order to, you know, I guess translate that, you know, what were you saying, from the pshat to the halachic system, the way we were saying it, the way we were formulating it before, the way my father-in-law formulated it, is that really not from the perspective, not the psychological perspective of the lovah, but rather from the perspective of the halachic system. Right? The halachic system says, basically, it's not a balanced relationship here, it's not an equal toin v'nitan. I mean, the malveh should be given greater rights because he performed the chesed. Is it because he performed this chesed of giving this interest-free loan, therefore the halachic system grants him more rights. So again, it's the same, along the same lines of the Rabbag is focusing on the theme of chesed, but again, taking it from the realm of the psychological factor of relationships to the halachic system. But I thought it was just something to note. But again, if you take this of chesed being the foundation of Eved Lo V'Li Ishmalva, it makes a lot of sense, which you think is Savar Pshuta anyways, but it makes a lot of sense to limit Eved Lo V'Li Ishmalva to the realm of Malva and Lova, and therefore say that Shar Tawanim don't have that right. Fine. So the second group of shitos in the sugya, or that who basically these shitos hold that really no, that when we say that the malva has a right to take the lova out of town, they say lava malva lav davka. Really, malva is just a simon; it's just an indicator of a towing. So basically, a towing in all contexts really has this right. So whether the towing is a malva, asking for his loan back, or it's a nizak, trying to collect damages, or it's a nigzal, trying to collect something which is stolen from him. In all these contexts, according to the following rishonim, these Tawanim have the right to take the Nitan out of town. So this is explicit in the Rambam. Right, the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin, where he says, first he quotes it, this right of taking the other party out of town in the context of Malva, and then he extends it to Shar Tawanim. He says, Aval im Omar ha-Malva neilech le-Bezdin ha-Gadol. Right, the Malva wants to go to a greater, or to a Bezdin of greater stature outside the city. But then he says, the chain in time ze shehiziko o gazlo, is the any other case of a towing, whether it's a nigzal or a nizak, in any other case, wherever the towing says v'ratzah towing lavos, and he also again he wants to go to this greater basin outside, out of town. Kofin basin should be iro es a nitan laalos imo. Basically, we force the nitan to go to the out of town basin. And all similar cases of Tawanim. So here you've got the Rambam taking this approach that basically Malva La Dafka, this right really pertains, applies to all Tawanim. And then you also have the Agos Mamonios quotes the Tosos as saying this. Again, we don't know which Tosos this is, but one of the Bali Tosos agree with this.
So it's clearly Machlokas.
Yeah, for sure, it's Machlokas Rishon. Yeah. And the Rush, which we'll get to in a moment for his reasoning, but the Rush in Simon Mem Aleph takes this approach that this right extends to all Tawanim, and also the Tur, again, Paskins like his father, that this right, and the Shulchan Aruch as well.
The Tur is in the Ramah, isn't it?
What?
The Tur is in the
Ramah. Yeah.
Rav Usher, that is in the Tur.
Rav Usher is the Rush.
Is the Rush, so Yisrael
Rush. Oh, yeah, okay, fine, very good. Okay, that's in the Tur also. But, yeah, fine. So you have the Rambam, Tosos, Rush, Tur, and Shulchan Aruch basically all saying that this right applies to Shar Tawanim. So now the question is exists, because meaning what is the basis of this right? What is the basis of extending this right to all Tawanim? So we're going to have to see, there are three answers to this question. Okay, what exactly is the basis of this right for all Tawanim to take their counterpart, to take the Nitan, out of town? So the first explanation is offered by the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. And the Kesef Mishnah, after quoting the dissenting Shita of the Ramach and the Rabbeinu Tam, right, tries to explain the Rambam and says as follows: V'li nira de yesh lomar, de b'shar tzvios nami shayech lomar, Right, by all tviyos, the following svara is applicable. Shatoveya mitra'im michavera. That basically the toveya has the upper hand, is exalted literally from his counterpart. Shehiziko. Therefore, have a hanitzva eved lo. And therefore, the nitzva is considered his eved. And she is like hiziko oshi ivara she'ena maziko until you're mivara the mitzias. So again, without quoting the pasuk of eved lo v'lishnav, it's clear that the kesa mishnah is coming off of those lashonas by saying eved lo. That in short, the first approach in the first explanation of this second approach is that of the kesa mishnah, to say that the basis for Shar Tawanim to take the Nitan out of town is the Svar of Eved Love Leish Malva. Right? So as we pointed out before, as Moshe pointed out, this might seem counterintuitive, or at least counter to the simple Pshat of the Pasuk. But this approach is in that although the Pasuk of Eved Love Leish Malva is explicitly referring to a Malva and a Love, according to this approach, Malva and Love is really just a simon for all Tawanim and all Nitanim. Right, so every Toin and Nitan have the same type of Eved, you know, Rabo type of relationship. And as we pointed out last time, the way to explain Eved Lova L'Ish Malva in a way which would extend to all other Toin Nitan relationships, again, as we pointed out before, if it's based on Chesed, that's limited to the Malva Lova. But if you think that really it's more of a Klali idea that the Toin, who at one point there was a cheskas chiyev. At the one point, the toin was clearly owed money. So if the idea of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva is that basically this party stands the most to lose because at one point there was a cheskas chiyev, he was for sure owed money. So therefore, the halachic system wants to protect him by basically giving him the right to choose the base in which he feels will best enable him to collect the money which is rightfully his. So if you take that svara, that it's not based on chesed, but rather we protect the person who stands the most to lose, so then that's not going to be limited to the Malva Lova relationship, that's really going to be applicable to all Toin Nitan relationships.
Sorry.
Just when did the Kesem Mishnah say,
did he say, like, Adam is
Vara Shalom Ziko? Yeah, so that's what he says two things. Either you pay off, so that's what we pointed out last time, Exactly, that's the point. Because, meaning, everyone agrees that the Toin Nitan relationship only would have a tzad of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva if everyone agrees that there was a cheskas chiyuv. But if exactly, the case of Kofar B'Kol, where if you deny that there was ever a hezek,
Rush says that too.
Exactly, Rush says that as well.
Once he proves that he wasn't the one who was mazik him,
The case we're talking, the case where they're talking about Toin Nitan is where the guy's claiming parati. So in their case, I admit, right, parati, I admit that there was a hezek, I admit there was a gzela, but I paid it back. So in that case, there was an admission to the cheskas chiyuv, so therefore we basically deemed the toin to have the upper hand, because he was once for sure owed money. But, and therefore, that's the basis of the svara. At one point, he was for sure owed money, so therefore, you know, to balance that out, the Torah, basically the halachism, gives him more rights. But if you were able to be mavair that there was never a hezek to begin with, i.e., you're basically your kofar hakol, so then this dinim of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva is not going to apply even according to everybody.
I mean,
I'm not seeing it exactly,
but it sounded like he was saying the
Tobeah
always has the upper hand until the Nitan can actually prove that he
was Zika. The problem with that is that, meaning, you normally prove something like that in a court case. So that's a good kasha. The way I understood that is like more like a taina of Kofar HaKol, and that's what a lot of the Rishonim say. Like the Rush says that, and it's quoted in the Tur and in the Shulchan Aruch. But I hear that's an interesting point we have to think about. 100%.
Isn't it? He's saying
this.
It sounds like he's guilty.
Can I just ask the question?
Yeah. Isn't it sound like he's guilty from the Lashon? He's guilty until proven not guilty.
That's Shira's point. Yeah.
It's not like Lahadam or something like that.
I hear. The only problem that we're pointing out to think about it is that if you're really going through the only time you actually prove that you're innocent is in a court case. But we're trying to deal with the stage before. We're trying to figure.
Well, so until that, it should be this.
But if you're saying, but then it becomes circular. We're at stage before proofs because we're trying to figure out where we're going to bring all our proofs. That's why I'm understanding this more of as Lahadam, but I understand why the Lashon of the Kesem Mishnah. We have to basically, it'd be a good place to look at the Beis Yosef to see how he explains
the sugya. The Rambam, the next halacha, halacha ches, says, B'mezer amurem, kishiyu sham edim o rai la nigzol o nizak o lamalva. Abel tayikonis, im chayvenes anitam latzeis klal, Ella nishpa mimakomo v'niftar.
And that's just saying that it has nothing. But it, so I mean, that's the case where eating, that's where they tow
it. It's not a case I have eaten.
Yeah, I mean, the next one I'm saying, I mean, that's only when a towing actually has evidence with him. We're talking about, now the question is, what about the Nitan's response? Does he, it, I mean, when he claims Kofar HaKol, does that alone knock down this Evid Lovelish religion, or does he actually need a riot? That's the question we're asking now. But yeah, but it's, along the same lines, the only time you're going to say this idea of Evid Lovelish Malva by Shar Tawanim is when there's actually an imbalance where the towing has a good raya, and the Nitan admits that, you know, at one point at least, that the, you know, the towing did have the upper hand. Okay, that's a little bit, yeah.
I think also maybe in that, he said, oh, Yevayar Sheino Mazika. Not that there was no Nezek Me'olam. Yeah, everyone agrees there was a Nezek.
You're saying that he wasn't the Nezek?
I'm not the guy.
How different is that?
At least there's a little bit of that.
That's hard to say, because in this case,
he's definitely the Nezek. The only question is whether I'm the Mazik.
That's interesting. It's hard, because from the perspective of this Dion, between Tony and Nitan, from a classical Cheskos Chiyah perspective, that's generally relationship. I hear what you're saying, it's an interesting point.
I mean, there's always a dispute, so there's always going to be a hazard.
Yeah. The only question is, if you know, if there's a Vodos, that this guy is a Nizak, does that give him certain standing, even if there's no proof against the other person? Okay, definitely interesting things to think about. Okay. What?
Maybe that's the reader person, we can find out.
But yeah, the proof that he's the Mazik.
I'm saying, he's saying that you could
assume
he's the Mazik, right?
No. I think Sher is pointing out that the Lashon could have been taken as saying that as long as the Nizak proves that he was injured, you know, he proves the hole in the house was clearly, you know, gored by an ox. Therefore, that gives him a certain standing, even if he never proved that, you know,
that guy is
exactly. So that's just a little hard. Be light, right? Just to move forward. Again, the first explanation of these shitos, right, of extending this right to take to the Beis Avad to Shar Tawanim, right? Explanation number one is the Kesem Mishnah, who basically extends Eved Lover Leish Malva to all Tawanim, exactly as we explained, based on the more klali svara of, you know, Eved Lover Leish Malva not being based on Chesed, but rather being, you know, protecting the person who stands the most to lose. Fine. Then the second explanation, which I discussed with a couple of chavrusas, is that of the Rush. So it's very important. It could be that more people, you know, overlook the importance of this Rush, right? So the Rush, explicit, right, in Gimel Mem Aleph, right, over there, after quoting the Gemara, which says that the Malva has the right to take the Lova out of town. Right, anyone have the Rush open? It's on page of Gimel Lo's Vahadar edition. Donnie, do you have it?
There.
Starting with Velav Dafka.
It's in your Gemara.
Can you go for it, Donnie? Right, so right. So he's clearly extending the right to take, right, the other party out of town to all Tawanim. But now the key is, what is this far?
Any tovea has the taina that the nitva can't force him to spend a mana to collect his mana.
Ah.
The gamer.
Oh yeah, we're gonna stop there for the moment. So, I talked to a number of chavrusas about this. So, what should jump out at you when you read this line? Right, the Rush just said, the reason why all Tawanim can take the let's say the Nitan out of town is because of the svara of Shlo Yotzi Mana Almana. I'm going to ask, where, clearly I'm not, but in what context does Rabbi Lazar quote that din? In regards to which halacha?
Regards to where the Nitan can't take the Tawanim.
Exactly. The Love can't take the Malve out of town. Why? Which Misvara means, if I spell it out, what's the Svara?
He's the one who's collecting, he shouldn't have to spend $100 to get $100 from the base of the
Excellent. Right, so Uri's saying, the Svara of Shalei Yotzi Mana Almana is what? You can't force this person to go out of town because that, in essence, is forcing him to spend more money. Right, so the Svara of Shalei Yotzi Mana, not only the context, but the Svara of Shalei Yotzi Mana Almana is all about the idea that you can't force a person out of town. What's the context of the Rush?
The time forcing them to stay in town.
to.
Meaning he's trying to say that any other tenant can take another guy out of
town. Out of town, exactly. So it's the opposite.
Meaning that the case of the Gemara is the tenant person needs to stay in town.
Exactly. So the Svara of Shalayotzi Mana Amana in the Gemara is used to basically dictate that one party can't take the other party out of town. So the Rush is flipping it on its head and saying, no, that same Svara can be utilized to say that a Toveya can take the other party out of town. So not only is it a question because he's basically utilizing the Svara, not in the context that the Gemara uses it, but also, what about the Svara itself? As Uri pointed out, the Svara is all about, you can't force someone to spend more money, therefore you can't make him go out of town. So how does that Svara of not forcing someone to spend more money dictate that now a Toveya can force the other party to go out of town? Everyone hear the question? One more time? One more time. The yes is on the one more time. Right? If you look closely, if you look back at Rabban Aleph on the biz, right? Rabbi Lazar utilizes that svara as a way of justifying why a lovet can't force the malvet out of town. And the svara is layotze mana amana, is that the lovet can't force the malvet to spend another $100. So the svara of Shalayotze Mana Amana, the pashtus, is about not being able to force another person to spend money by forcing him to go out of town. So the svara and the context of the Gemara is all about one party not being able to force someone out of town. But the Rosh uses it in exactly the opposite manner of the of a towing being able to force the nitan out of town. So the question is, how does that svara of Shalayotzi Mana Almana manifest itself in the exact opposite manner of basically justifying the towing being able to take the nitan out of town? Because the whole svara is about forcing people to stay in town. Is that a little clearer? Better? Yeah? Oh. So it's a very, I think the important thing we're discussing with some of the Chabrusas and Seder is the importance of when you read like a Rishon, like the Rush, like this, sometimes you just like read through it, and you see the Svara, oh yeah, I remember that Svara in the Gemara, and then you just continue reading. It's very important whenever you see a Svara in the Gemara, if you don't remember the Gemara perfectly, to go back to the Gemara and see what exactly the context of the Gemara was, and then try to analyze, you know, the Rishon as compared to the Gemara. Like in this perfect case, if you went back to the Gemara and you say, oh, wait a second, the Gemara is using it for the exact opposite reason as the Rush is doing, and then that would force you really to appreciate the big Chiddush of the Rush here. So the question again is how to understand Shalayotzi Mana Almana in a way which would, you know, work for the Rush's context of justifying the towing taking the Nitan out of town. So again, these are, it's very difficult. I think the question is going to be better than either of the answers I'm going to suggest right now, but at least have an attempt. So the first one, I think Avi was having to, is that perhaps according to the Rush, sees the svara of Shalayotzi Mana Almana as not just an isolated svara of Shalayotzi Mana Almana, not being able to force someone to spend money, but it's rather a larger point, it's rather a simen to the precedence of the malve / towing over the nitan. So according to this, again, it's a little laddafka in the Lashon, but basically the Rush seems to be viewing Shalayotzi Mana Almana as a general simen to the precedence of the malve / towing over the nitan. And therefore, just like in the context of the Gemara, that precedence manifests itself in terms of the love not being able to schlep the malve out of town. So here, that same precedence will work in the opposite manner of allowing the towing to force the nitan out of town. But again, I said it's a little about, it's lavdafka in the words, because you're basically viewing the svara as not just a svara, but the svara is really a simon to a larger.
I mean, just like you can't force me to spend money, and I can force you to do this.
It's difficult. And the second explanation is going to be, it's basically this svara works in this context, but basically what the svara is really doing, really the basis of the svara is really not the svara itself, but it's really just the general idea that the malva has greater standing, has greater rights over the lova / the nita. Again, it's very difficult in the words. The second suggestion, again, which works better in the words, but again, it ends up being that the svara of Shalayotzi Mana Amana works differently in the two cases, but it works better in the words, is that while in the case of the Gemara, Shlayotzi Mana Almana is interpreted as we just explained, that you can't force the Malva to spend more money to collect his money, perhaps in this context, what Shlayotzi Mana Almana means is something we'll see in a moment in the third approach, this type of svara, but no one connects it to the words. But perhaps Shlayotzi Mana Almana is basically saying that it's a svara that the Malva is telling the truth. To say shalom, it's a chazaka. Shalom yotzi mana almana. He wouldn't spend an extra $100 over his original $100 if he wasn't really in the right. Meaning, the malva wouldn't want to go to the other court. He wouldn't want to say, you know, expend the travel expenses unless he knew that he was really in the right. So again, it fits into shalom yotzi mana almana more literally, because again, in a different way than the Gemara's usage of it. But again, shalom yotzi mana almana is that he wouldn't, it's like a chazaka, that he will not be motzi mana on top of his mana. So again, it would be the svara would be that this is just a svara that the malva is in the right.
Shouldn't he be that he would be motzi mana almana?
Meaning, I think the point would
the
be
the fact that he is. It shows
money that he's not going to get.
Yeah, that's really what it means. Yeah, and the idea, we'll see the svara in a moment and in another rishon. Again, both pshatim are difficult because even according to the second pshat, even if you agree with the way it reads into the words, it's definitely a different reading than the Gemara's reading. So again, the kasha is better than both kibbutzim. But I think it's important to for sure note the question that the Rush is extending that svara in a very different context where the svara itself doesn't apply. So again, either you see it as a simon to general precedence, or you try to work that svara in with a different reading, which would perhaps manifest itself in even in this context. Just one last point. But according to whichever chat you give, just a question on the Rush, is that according to the Rush, not only was there a question that, you know, he's, you know, using the Gemara's svara in a completely different way, there's also a question that if, you know, once you take the Rush, you know, his assumption, that Shalo Yotzi Mana Almana as a svara, you know, works to dictate that the Toman can take the Nitan out of town. Right? So once that works, so then why does the Gemara later have to justify the Malva's ability to take the Lova out of town by quoting the Yisod of Eved Lova Liish Malva? Right? Ever hear that? Once the Rush thinks that the Svara of Shlo Yotzi Mana Amana allows a Tomein to take the Nitan out of town, so then a Malva is a type of Tomein. So why does the Gemara feel the need to justify the Malva's ability to take the Lova out of town by quoting a new Svara of Eved Lova Liish Malva? Just quote that same svara that was quoted earlier in the Gemara of Shlayotzi Mana Almana, which according to the Rush works according for all these cases. So in order to answer this question, he hasn't set up the question like this, but the Prisha, who's a parish on the tour, in Siman Yudalad, in Dira Maskel the Kasav HaRush, I think is addressing this question, and he says as follows, that while the svar of Shalayotzi Mana Amana applies in all cases, and therefore you would think should apply to the Mava-Lova relationship, the Lova has an extra factor going for him, which therefore needs the additional factor of Eved Lova Liish Malva to neutralize that. And the Prisha explains that in the classic case that we're talking about, or the Mava-Lova, we're talking about a case of Parati, right? Because if it's called Rakol, that's not what's being discussed. There's rather a case of Parati. So generally, if you're talking about Bambitzia people or Shuas, generally, a Lova who claims Parate has a chazaka of Ein Adam Me'ez Panav Bifnei Bal Chova.
Maybe a Motzi Chaveru Olav Araya also says Parati, so the other guy's trying to get money out of him. So
yeah, so here we're more looking for a factor of Ne'amanus. That's more just a burden of proof issue. So the Prisha is suggesting that because the Lova has this factor of chazaka of Ein Adam Me'ez Panav Bifnei Bal Chova, so that grants in the Prisha's Lashon, that grants the Lova ne'emanus in the case, and therefore you would think that might give him extra rights in the case, and therefore the general svara of Shalayotzi Mana Amana would not suffice, and therefore the Gemara needs to give an additional factor of Eved Lova Ishmava to counteract that added ne'emanus of the Lova. So again, the Prisha, in order to account for the Rush's take on the sugya has to now introduce a new factor to explain why in the world the Gemara needs to add that extra factor of Ebelo Lishmava, which is explaining to counteract this added chazaka. Yeah?
Yeah. That might maybe another way to read the Rosh, and yeah? I think that might also take away the second question,
huh?
Is that these proofs are just very technical in the reading of the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara had
Share,
one...
Share, you?
The Gemara had one discussion, right, about both Sodim, right? Lovin bring the Malvin, Malvin bring the Lovin.
Okay.
And in that discussion, they brought up Shalit Zimana Almana. And he said, well, Shalit Zimana Almana is Shayat Kol Tovei, huh? Therefore, if Mistaber, the whole discussion is really about any Tovei.
But he...
That's only...
And then that doesn't get us into
the
second
one. I mean, you're just saying he's just bringing that as a sin that the whole entire Gemara is...
He's locked up from something.
Yeah. Okay. Meaning, again, maybe my suggestions were great. So, I guess it's okay. Could be. Again, it doesn't. It's like a difficult
it's
read
it's
in terms of the rush because just it's like.
But it's mucha from the end that it's seventh of Lishmal that we're talking about. That the end is not talking about culture.
Just saying the fact
I'm
that,
saying that that works out well because he's not actually saying that that other svara works, but it's therefore they need seventh of Lishmal in case. Yeah.
Meaning, once you explain how Avilovi Lishmalva applies to other things, but if you're still saying that Avilovi Lishmalva is a Malva Lova type of case.
Yeah, you would have to assume, and of course, that's not the reasoning. The reasoning is really Avilovi Lishmalva. Yeah.
I'm saying, which is better,
that's why we need it. No, from that perspective, yeah. It's possible to read it.
How Avilovi Lishmalva applies to other things.
No, but he's not trying to do that. Right. Yeah, again, it's not my initial reading of the Rosh, but again, in light of all the difficulty, it could be.
In the first possibility that you see Shaliyot Tzimun Amona as like a general sword of the Malva having precedence over the Loga.
Or towing from the Nita.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you just say that they're synonyms? Evelobe Lish Malva is also a sword about the Malva having precedence over the Loga.
And therefore, what? I mean, what are you trying to answer with that?
The Prisha wouldn't have to say this whole.
You're saying that you're saying it's saying the same thing?
Why did we say the same thing?
Yeah, why do you have to say that? I mean, once you already have that, I mean, once you have Yoshimon Almana giving you that precedence, why do you need another Svara giving you that precedence?
For other Tanim.
What?
The other Svara works for other Tanim.
No, but the Rush thinks that Yoshimon Almana works for everything. That includes Malva Lova, at the very least.
Well, that could be after the initial Evelobe Lishmalva.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Difficult brush again, but I think perhaps maybe the most important thing coming out of that is the Derech Halima question. Whenever you're learning a Rishon, he's quoting a Svara. Always very important to analyze the Rishonim in light of the Gemara. Sometimes you do the Gemara and then you get so focused on the Rishonim and the Mefarshim, you sort of sometimes lose sight of the Gemara. But it's important to not lose sight of the Gemara for itself, but also even from the perspective of learning the Rishonim well, to understand the Gemara is to understand the Rishonim better as well. Fine. So again, first svara is Eved Lo V'Lish Malva applying. Second svara is Adi Shaliyot Siman Almana of the Rush, and the third svara is a svara again not in the Gemara. Also, this is offered by the Riva, right? One of the Balei Tosfos. This is quoted in the Mordechai, quoted in the Ketzos, in Yudalid Aleph, and basically, according to the Riva, the basis of a Tohen's ability, right, to take the Nitan out of town is a chazaka. Similar to our suggestion before, of in hatoveya motzi ma'osav bechinam. Basically, it's a chazaka that there's no reason why a malva or any toin would want to spend money to specifically go out of town if he doesn't have.
Does that overcome the other chazaka that the malva has?
That the lovet. That's what we're gonna see. And he specifically says that this chazaka only applies to the toin. Why? Because the nitan could be that he's bluffing. Right, he's going to say, "Oh, meaning he really owes the money," but he's trying to, threaten the tovei by saying, "Oh, you can only take me out of town," thinking that if he forces the guy out of town, then the tovei is going to drop the case. He's not going to spend the money.
So according to the doesn't care.
Meaning he's not trying. Meaning this chazaka only dictates that the malva is telling the truth because only the malva, because the svara is that the malva wouldn't specifically choose to go out of town if not for the fact that he really feels that that's the best basin to adjudicate his case, while that chazaka doesn't apply to the nitzan, because the nitzan could simply be doing that just to basically try to get the toin to drop the case. So that's the svara of the Riva. And an important...
You can say that in the Rush. The Rush holds... What does it mean, Shliyotzi Man Amon?
That was my second suggestion, in essence. Was that the svara of Shliyotzi Man Amon is exactly this idea, that he will not spend the mana on a mana. That's what I was referring to before, when I said it's parallel to something else in the Rishonim, it's parallel to this Riva. Basically, it's like that svara, now just trying to put that into the Rush. Exactly. So again, an important assumption of this Riva, besides for the technical assumption that Chazaka exists, is that the Riva is assuming that as long as, basically, up until now, like when we learned the Gemara, the way we set it up in the first year, is that you need to have a special zchus to be able to tap into the right of Beis Avad. Right, you mean that's what we were saying. The basic understanding of Eved Lo B'Leish Malva is that gives the Malva or the Tohen a special zchus to be able to tap into this, ability, to take the other guy out of court. According to this Riva, all the Svara does is that it dictates that the Tohen is telling the truth. So an important fundamental assumption of the Riva is that the ability to take someone out of court, out of town, rather, doesn't require a zchus, but rather just requires ne'amonus. And therefore, as long as you have that ne'amonus, you can do that. And therefore, the Tohen, which has that ne'amonus because of this chazaka, can. And the nitan, the only reason why he can't, it's not because of Eved Lo B'Leish Malva, but it's rather because he lacks the ne'amonus of this chazaka. So again, beyond just the technical assumption that he just assumes that this chazaka is at play in the Gemara, fundamentally is a different take on the whole sugya, that you don't need a zchus to tap into this right to go to force the other Baldin out of town. But rather, as long as we don't assume that you're doing that for nefarious purposes, then we are going to be allowed to do that. Just let's finish up. Niktos, with this Riva, is able to explain in a Mechudash Shita in the Sugya. And that is the Ma'arik, right? The Ma'arik is quoted by the Sma Lahalacha, who basically says that the Malve, or the Toei, is generally allowed to take the Nitan out of town, except in one case. And that is the case where this Tohen, or Malva, will be traveling to that other town anyways. So the Shach says, what are you talking about? Where did you get that from? Why in the world would that be a qualification? Why in the world would the fact that the Tohen is going to that, has business in that other town, why would that stop the Tohen from being able to take his Nitan to that town with the greater basin? So it says, with this Riva, you can now explain it. That the whole basis of the netmonus of the Toveya is this Chazaka, that the only reason, why in the world would he travel to that other place, if not for the fact that he really has a valid claim, but if he's traveling there anyways, that whole Chazaka falls away. So Ketzel says that with the Riva, you're able to explain this Ma'arik, which is Kodol Halacha, that if the whole basis of the Tohen's ability to take the Nitan out of town is because of this Chazaka, why else would he be going? Why else would he choose that town if not for the fact that he has a valid claim? But if he's going there anyways, that whole Chazaka falls away.
So I know back then it probably didn't apply, but what if nowadays, if you say had a free ride to...
It could be the same thing, yeah, exactly.
Meaning back then there was no such thing as a free ride.
Exactly, the same thing. Because the whole idea is Chazaka ain't a tovei motzi ma'usa. He won't spend money, but if you can spend money, and just one last factor. And with this, he answers the same question we had on the Rush, right? That once there's another svara out there for why a tovei can take the nitan out of town, the question is later in the Gemara, why would the Gemara need to quote Eved Lo B'Leish Malva? That's the question, right? So that same question we had on the Rush now exists on the Riva, because whenever you give an alternative svara, besides for Eved Lo B'Leish Malva, to why the Tohen can take the Nitan, you have to then ask, so then that svara, this chazaka for the Riva, should now apply to the Malva as well. So why does the Gemara have to give another svara of Eved Lo B'Leish Malva? So Kselos explains that based on the Zmarik, the chazaka has a loophole. The chazaka doesn't apply in every single case, because the chazaka will not apply in the case where the Toveya will be going to that town anyways. So according to the Ketzos, according to this whole approach, the reason why the Gemara mentions the svara of Eved Lo B'Leish Malva by a Malva to say that not only does the Malva have this chazaka, but the Malva has an additional reason of Eved Lo B'Leish Malva, which will therefore even apply in the case where the Malva is traveling there anyways. No, but to explain that to limit the Ma'arik to Shar Tohanim. Exactly. Again, this might not be the Pshat of the Ma'arik, because the Ma'arik might be going within all, but the way the Ketzel says it is that he has to split Psach. It basically, Paskin's like the Ma'arik for Shar Tohanim, but But he thinks, in order to explain how the Rival will fit in the Gemara, he says, by the Malva, since the basis of the Malva's ability to take the way out of town is not just this Chazaka, but it's an additional factor of Eved Lo V'Lish Malva, so therefore, that Svar of Eved Lo V'Lish Malva will even apply when the Malva is going out of town anyways.
Yeah, so
sir,
how would you, according to
this,
how would you actually evaluate that? Meaning, let's say the beast that he wants to go to, happens to be in some very nice place, he decides, oh, let's go on vacation. Like, how do you evaluate that kind of thing? Like, it sounds like a very
non-Lamaisa
kind of approach.
I don't know, it's not Lamaisa. It's not Lamaisa, but you'd have to, they'd have to make a cheshbon in terms of...
He does when he's there.
What else did he do? Yeah. I mean, the assumption, again, it comes down to a Shukal Hadas factor. Also, they basically have to look at the case and say, like, is it true that the only reason why he'd want to adjudicate in that faraway basin is because he thinks he's in the right? If they find any reason, whether it's like a business trip or because it's a beautiful vacation spot and it worked out with his work, yeah, it would be a Shikul Adas factor. I wouldn't say it's not Lamaisa as much as it might be a little complicated to apply it, but for sure, they didn't have to, again, the Ksos passing this Lamaisa. They would have to, with their Shikul Adas, try to understand when this Chazaka applies. Okay, Dani?
Why doesn't that Chazaka apply to let the Nitan take the towing out of town, too?
So the Riva says, because we assume that the reason why the Nitan is claiming that he wants to go out of town is just because he figures that if he claims that he's only going to take the case out of town, that the Tony would be like, it's not worth it. So that's why the Nitan doesn't have that same Chazaka. Basically, it's like a bluff.
And the towing wouldn't be bluffing? He's trying to collect the second time?
The assumption is that he's not. The assumption is that the only reason why he'd be doing this.
Doesn't help him. He's yetzi man al mana. He's obviously not.
Exactly. I mean, why would he spend money? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Also, if he's going to lose the case, anyways. I mean, the whole point is that we're assuming the basin's going to get it right, right? So you only go into a basin of greater stature if you think you're in the right, because he wants to collect a second time, but if he's going to lose, it's not going to help. The low vet might say, "Oh, I'm going to lose, but it's a bluff." Because he's going to say, I might lose there, but there's a chance that the guy's not going to call my bluff, and they're just going to give up the case instead of going there. That's the point. See,
yeah,
what I'm saying? It's taking a risk. It's every poker bluff is taking a risk. Yeah.
The big.
Was that interesting?
Yes. I don't think we could read the Maverick differently.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just saying that the only reason you have a right to call this guy to Lisa Bad is if we're sure that you're doing it for the purpose of. And getting a better day, but it's pretty clear that you're doing it for your own purposes and just convenience for you, then what right do you have to be
Matriyahe?
Not that.
But even if that's also, you're saying it has to be that you're so, if you're Chassidish?
Right.
It's a Chiddush, because at the end of the day, I want the better din. Okay, but I'm also going to be there anyways. You're saying it has to be your sole purpose, otherwise it loses, its teeth.
Right, and also not thinking of what Yehuda was talking about. If you have a free ride, okay, but ultimately,
that's
still
you're
still going there
okay.
Forever.
Interesting. Yeah, it's not the Ksos, but that's an interesting idea. Again, the Chiddush, because it's not like Lashma. It's not like Sharon's trying to suggest an alternative to Nehemiah. It's not about, forget the whole Chazak idea. The Marek is all based on just that needs to be your sole, not even primary. Soul intention. Again, question is, didn't like a Lishman, it's a very fundamental approach, interesting, but yeah, so, okay. So much, just start the next part. Okay, so basically, Adkan, we basically, discussed basically the first half of the Sugya, which is discussion of Minui Basin, right? Choosing which basin is going to adjudicate the case. So the second half of the Sugya, which is the one which is the more Lemaisa, the Maskana of the Gemara, is that right, the Mishnah is not talking about choosing of a basin, but it's rather choosing of the specific Dayanim. So just let's just read the Gemara inside, and then we'll start the analysis, and we'll finish up next time. Who hasn't read? Noel? Yehuda? I'm not sure if you have, but... Okay. Starting with, you see Tanan, really the questions? It's seven lines up.
So the Mishnah said, "Chacham Omrim Shnei Dayanim Borin Lahen Od Echad." So the Chachamim Shita is that the not that the two Baal Dinim choose another one, but rather the Dayanim choose another one, right? Whatever, remember, whatever exactly one means.
Exactly.
And if you think that one means what we thought it was before,
that one is a Beis Din,
so the two Bati Dinim that we both that we rejected, one of them because one Baal Davar thought it wasn't good enough, and the other one because one Baal Davar thought it was too far away. So two Bati Dinim that we passed and said we didn't want to use, we're going to end up having to travel to both of them in order to have them choose which Beis Din we're going to use.
Exactly.
So
question number one.
The ode. And question number two, my zebor lo'echad v'zebor lo'echad. What does the Mishnah mean when it says zebor lo'echad v'zebor lo'echad, which makes it sound as though there is actually a halachic process of one choosing, of one Baal Dinim choosing one, and one of the Baal Dinim choosing one.
Meaning that it's like lichatila, this should be
right,
the case. Yeah,
right.
That's definitely Rashi. I discussed with some guys whether that's also Tosos. I'm not going to answer now. Basically, I thought that was Pshat and Tosos. That was Tosos and Pshat in the second line of the Gemara. That's like the Aruch. Who was this? This was Avi? Yeah, that's the Aruch Lener. If you look at the Marsha, he thinks that Tosos has to explain a little differently, but a little difference. You can look, take a look at that. But basically, according to Rashi and according to the Aruch Lener's understanding of Tosos, this second question is basically asking, according to this, the first, you know, first answer of the Gemara, this is all, the whole Mishnah is b'diavad. If each Baal Din is ma'akev, the choice of the other, then you have to do this. But the Gemara is, the Mishnah's lashon of zebor lo'echad, zebor lo'echad, sounds like this is l'chatzchila, this is the way it should be, which therefore doesn't imply that this is a b'dievid case where each one knocks off the choice of the other. So ella hachikam, right?
We had to put shtup in a kesheh, which isn't there.
Exactly.
So ella hachikam, so this is what the Mishnah means to say.
And take out the kesheh now.
Right.
And that's why they take out the kishah, because right? That's what the whole point of the Gemara. The whole point is that we're trying to say zeh, yeah?
So zeh bor lo dayan echad, zeh bor lo dayan echad, shnei borin len od echad. Each one chooses one dayan, and then they get together and agree on a third.
Again, so again, instead of the subject of the choosing being the Beis Din, it's rather the particular dayan. Okay. Oh, so now the Gemara is going to ask, what exactly is the svara, what's the benefit of each dayan being chosen by first by each Baal Din, and then the third one being chosen by both together.
So my what's the purpose of doing this? So I'm your Rabbi Mishmei Rav Zera. They said in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Zera, the Toshin Zebor Lo Dayanechad, Zebor Lo Dayanechad, Ushnei Morin Lo Dayanechad. Since they go through this process of one choosing the other, second, and then together they choosing the third, Yotzah Din La Mitzvah. That is going to cause the Din to come out better. Somehow.
Okay, that was. I appreciate the vagueness with which you define la'amito, because that's the whole sugya, right? That's the next part of the sugya, exactly trying to understand what is this factor of yetzei hadin la'amito, which literally means through this process, the resulting psak will come out more truthful. That's what it sounds like. All right, so we're going to see. Really, next time, I guess we'll just really close in a moment. But basically, the big issue in the sugya is, what is the gedder of La Mita? What exactly is the benefit of this process of Zavla? So you're going to see there's a big machokis, right? Rashi, Rama, Tudeas and Tosos, and just say the machokis really quickly, and we'll start with this next time, in terms of whether La Mita refers to objective truth, meaning whether this process, facilitates a more truthful, a better, objectively better, ruling. And we'll discuss exactly how it does that. Or is really Yatza Din La Mita in the eyes, subjective emes, in the eyes of the Baal Din. We'll see this is the pshat in Rashi, and in the second day in Tosos, that's la'amito in the eyes of the Baal Din, of the loser really, and the big issue we're going to discuss is, what exactly is the value of that? Why is there a value? Why are we doing this, setting up this whole entire process, so that the Baal Din, thinks that it's truthful? If it's truthful, we think it's objectively truthful, why do we care about what the Baal Din thinks about it? So we'll pick up with that next time.